Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on.
Well, hello there.
Hello. I saw hello in Doug's face.
Nah. We're rolling out all over the place tonight. But I'm not going to mute everybody at once because then it gets too confusing. And then everybody talks over everybody. But this is our 1, 2, 3. This is going to be our fourth show before it ends for the year. So there's 3 more to go. Then January 1st is the start of the 5th year, and I want to thank everybody, and Bill said to tell everybody thank you too. He's almost at the point where he's probably going to come back, and then I have someone from the COC, he might call in tonight. That's the Confederation of Clubs, for people who don't know who it is. And I think he's the new president. The other president went down to San Diego. But and then tomorrow night is a special guest. And probably Thursday night is going to be a special guest. So I'm thinking the last 2 shows this week will probably be Sam Crow Radio with some interesting people from the show. I haven't confirmed it yet, so I'm not going to say who it is. But once I do, I will let everybody know. So, Nora, you're unmuted.
Hi.
Hello. Is that you, Stacy?
What's going on?
Not much.
Hey, Stacy.
Hey, girl.
I talked to those 2 individuals, and it's still up in the air. One I should know by... One I should know today or tomorrow, and the other one probably tomorrow also. But they should be here. And then I had a couple of things. This is the first time I heard of this, but I want you guys to humor me for a minute because this is called the Bill of Rights song. So I want to check it out, see what it is.
Says that other rights are
It was all right, I guess.
Yeah. It's pretty good for
for rap music. I've
never heard it that way, but that's pretty good.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, hello, Amy.
Hello, darling. I'm not on long tonight. I got, like, 3 shows to do tonight, and if you've been keeping up with me, I'm pretty sick right now. So I'm just making a little wild appearance on your show tonight to say hello and happy holidays to everybody.
You too. And go ahead.
Well, what you got? What have you got good today? Anything?
Just a few things like that. Somebody sent me that song, so just before we went on, so I figured out. But in Australia, the Army's going to join the police to help with the crackdowns.
How ridiculous. Well, you know, the whole world's trying to turn into a police state. But, you know, I've spent all day today dealing with a total asshat stirring trouble in all the Patriot movement. He's over in the truckers. You know, and I'm involved in the bikers and the truckers now. We've kind of combined some of our radio shows so that everybody can hear everything. And, of course, you're going to have an asshole show up every once in a while trying to stir trouble. Well, we had one today. And then when I left that, dealing with that all day today, I went to a choir program, you know, and I watched my niece and the 6th graders and the 7th graders and the 8th graders stand up there and sing, "Oh, Holy Night," and "Away in a Manger." And it reminded me of what we were all fighting for, you know. It don't make a shit if you think your neighbor is a racist, or if you think that trucker over there ain't doing the right thing, or this biker over here said Leroy, that don't matter. What matters is them little children that was up there on that stage tonight, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, and their right to stand on that stage and sing Christmas songs, sing real Christmas songs.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, people are crazy, man, you know. They want to put, there's a thing going on now about putting Christ back in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
To me, offend you if I say Merry Christmas? Merry Christmas.
Well, I'm not going to stay on here and keep y'all busy because you said you got a lot to do tonight, but I wanted to stop in and say howdy to all of you and tell you Merry Christmas, and I love you a whole bunches. And
all right.
Thank you for letting me thank you a whole lot for letting me be a part of your show this year.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
And I'll be back when I'm feeling a little more myself, okay? I'm fixing to go over here and see if I can straighten out these damn truckers and people fighting and pissing them on, and somebody's got to straighten them out, so I guess it's going to be me. But y'all be cool and have a wonderful holiday season, and keep up the good work, baby doll.
All right, best wishes for the new year.
All right, good night, and God bless, Bill. Night, all.
All right.
Good night.
Hey, Eunice.
Hey.
Hey,
hello,
Eunice.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. I said I got a bone to pick with you.
You got a bone to pick with me?
Absolutely.
What did I do now?
You didn't fix your phone, so when I send you text, you get the messages because it came back rejected. I sent it to you in an email.
Oh, did you? Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry. I don't
no
do
worries.
Text. Is that the only bone you got to pick with?
Here you go. No, I know. But I want you three to listen to this. And then I want some input. I'll read you the story. But it's about a Marine.
Okay.
He faces a dishonorable discharge after warning soldiers of the Taliban of an insider threat. But in short, while Marine Reserve Major was back in the States, he received a warning that a certain Afghan police chief was back on one of their forward operating bases in Afghanistan. Emailed back via his personal email, his summary of the Afghan police chief, warning them that this police chief worked with the Taliban. The document he emailed, though, was technically a classified document, and when he learned of his error, he reported himself to his command. His commanders didn't see any issue as the document was of little importance. The warning, however, was ultimately ignored, and a child-molesting Taliban police chief's T-boy took his rifle into the gym and murdered three of our bravest and best. Their names were Staff Sergeant Scott Diggetson, Corporal Richard Rivera, and Lance Corporal Greg Butley, a fourth soldier, Staff Sergeant Cody Rode, despite being shot five times, survived. Next thing you know, Bresler is being written up for his classified mistake, not by his commanding officers, but by someone, and now faces a board of inquiry where he could be dishonorably discharged for his ever-so-slight transgression. Should be regarded as a hero for trying to protect our bravest and the best who were unarmed when they were murdered. According to Alan West, they were not allowed to carry the weapons on a forward operating base, but this jerk police chief was allowed to carry his along with his boy. So there's a little video here. Let's see if it plays. Nope, it's not going to play.
I was going to say I don't hear anything.
Tomorrow, to the behavior of a Marine, whose career is now in jeopardy after he shared a warning about a security threat, one that turned out to be true. Major Jason Bresler saying that he was just trying to do the right thing, but the brass didn't like how he did it. Listen to this story. Fox News Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge has the explanation. Catherine?
Well, Megan, on the eve of his hearing, Fox News obtaining this letter from six members of Congress who all served in the Marines to the Secretary of the Navy.
Oh, that was the first problem. It's Fox News.
Questioning why Major Jason Bresler could be dishonorably discharged for trying to help his fellow Marines in Afghanistan. Part quote, Major Bresler's battalion commanders during the events in question and today support him completely. Who requested that Bresler be criminally investigated and why? Bresler, a Marine Corps reservist and New York City firefighter, is facing a board of inquiry, the equivalent of an administrative hearing in the military, for warning his fellow Marines of an insider threat in August 2012. In this case, an Afghan police chief there on the right, who Bresler knew to be linked to the Taliban and who was also a child predator. The Marine Reservist now stands accused of passing classified information through unclassified channels, in this case, an email account. Bresler's warning was ultimately ignored, and three Marines were killed by one of the Afghan police chief's child victims. His supporters say he is being singled out. There's an effort to shield the Marine who ignored the warning, and the episode exposes the underbelly of the Afghan conflict.
Catherine, you took the words out of my mouth. It really does seem to be a witch hunt and retaliation against Jason for blowing the whistle to Congress, an effort to prevent a Marine whose family connections are more elevated in terms of the Marine Corps than Jason Bresler's are. And it's part of a pattern of unlawful command influence that is plaguing the naval justice system, the Marine justice system at this time.
Tonight we've asked for an updated response. In the past, a spokesman at the Marine Corps Reserve Headquarters in New Orleans, where the hearing is taking place, told Fox News he couldn't comment on these specific allegations, but added that a criminal investigation found Bresler mishandled classified information when he sent that warning to his fellow Marines on a personal email account. Megan.
Unbelievable. Catherine, thank you. You're welcome. Joining me now for more, Fox News contributor, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. This is unbelievable, Congressman. This guy sent the warning. The only problem is he sent it via his Yahoo account as opposed to his official military account. That's it. And for this, they're going to dishonorably discharge the guy, and he's basically going to get booted out of the military?
Yeah, Megan, this absolutely makes no sense whatsoever, because if the warning had been heeded, you would have three Marines that would probably still be alive, because he was trying to warn them of an Afghan police chief by the name of Sarwar Jan, who had been allowed back onto the forward operating base of these Marines in Helmand Province. And what ended up happening, this Sarwar Jan has what is called a chai boy, and basically it's an underage male prostitute, a servant to him, that somehow ended up getting his AK-47, walking into that forward operating base, FOB base gymnasium, and gunned down these Marines who, because of the rules of engagement, they were not allowed to carry weapons on their own forward operating base.
Wow. And so I don't understand really, what do you think is really happening here? Because they're saying now in that letter, who requested this investigation of him? Because apparently his immediate chain of command here in the United States did not recommend punitive action against him. It was basically, the guy just used the wrong email account. That's all he's accused of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so it seems that political correctness is going to, you know, somewhat overrule common sense and also overrule force protection and protection of Marines. First of all, this young, underage, unvetted boy should not have been operating on a forward operating base where our Marines were stationed or any of our troops. And the other thing is that someone should have heeded the warning because
right.
Major Bressler had been assigned there in Helmand. He knew of this Sarwar John. But instead, they want to try to cover this up and go after this Marine who really was doing the right thing.
And I want the viewers to know, he notified his own superiors of his error almost immediately after he committed it. It's not like he tried to hide it.
Yeah.
So Catherine's reporting that maybe this is a case of connections, the guy who didn't heed the warning, maybe better connected than Bressler is. How does this get resolved? How does Bressler retain, you know, the benefits and so on that are due to him?
Well, the most important thing, I think we need to melt down the phones to call the Commandant of the Marine Corps as well as the Secretary of the Navy and let them know that this should not stand. If anything, they should be he should get a commendation for trying to step in and do the right thing to save these Marines. Those people that were responsible for the rules of engagement, the number one allowed, you know, a child predator to be operating, a person that was had connections to the Taliban as well, and then for them to have the rules of engagement that did not allow these Marines to protect themselves, it seems the cultural sensitivities just went overboard, and now we're going to punish this major for, like I said, doing the right thing.
The harshest write-up I've seen about him just talks about how it was an honest mistake. He made an honest mistake, and he tried to rectify it immediately thereafter, and it was all in an effort to save lives. This is a very confusing case. Good to see you, Lieutenant Colonel. All the best to you.
Always a pleasure. Merry Christmas.
And to you. Come.
Wow.
Does it tell you how screwed up our country is?
Yep, politics.
Yeah, it does.
The guy he sent it to was the guy who sent it to was the son-in-law of one of the generals.
Wow, Jesus Christ! I get so discouraged when I hear shit like that. You know, I mean, I really do. I mean, I don't know what this country's coming to. Nothing good, that's for sure.
No.
You know, that's, hey.
You know, it's like right now, the Army's going to be helping the police in Australia to help with their crackdown.
Well, watch out. United States.
It's coming.
Yep. Certainly is.
The other thing is they're holding they stopped the if you're on active duty you get medical stuff free. If you're family they call it TRICARE. So today the House of Representatives stopped the bill to raise that, but they only gave a 1% pay raise for the defense bill.
How stupid. I mean, how stupid. You know, if they could only, you know, it's, you know, years ago, Phil, honest to God, the Democrats and Republicans worked together for this country. Now it's who's better than the other. And you want to know something? They're both bad. They're both bad, Democrats and Republicans, because they do not know how to work. And I'm going to tell you, it's the one that got the dollar. You know, it's all about insurance companies, the payback, the lobbyists, the whole nine yards, you know. Well, if you give me $100,000, I'll vote yes for this. If you give me $200,000, I'll vote no for this. You know, it's bullshit. It really is bullshit. And we should all be ashamed of ourselves because people do not take the time to really check out their credentials. And we put them in these positions. That's the sad part. The American people have got lax in putting the right people into the right positions.
Well,
and it's so true.
Austin until they get there.
You know? You know, one time someone said to me, who do you think are the worst liars in the world? And I would have said attorneys at one time. The biggest liars in the world are politicians. You find very few that try to be honest in what they do. And there are a lot more that aren't honest, and they do it for their own pockets. You know, that's, and shame on us because we, you know, including myself. I mean, I'm not walking away from this with a big smile, you know, including myself that we did not take time to really check out these people that are running for positions. Really, you know.
Did you check out that guy that was helping you with your bill?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Most certainly.
And what happened with that?
Well, as a matter of fact, nothing so far. And it's in the Judiciary Committee again. And what I have learned that the Senate is for this bill 100%. And the two chair people, which is O'Flaherty is for the House of Representatives, and Clark is for the senators. They both have to agree. She has agreed that this bill should go forth, but O'Flaherty is the one that's holding this bill back. Imagine that, one person, not the whole board, but just the one person that is saying, no, we have to do more studies on it, you know. So what we're going to do, there's been articles in the newspaper, and I'm personally going to be doing an interview with the news media within probably the next week or so. More likely after Christmas, and I'm going to do an article about him. But in the meantime, we're hoping to meet with Cardinal O'Malley in Boston. If anybody can change it, he can. He's the one that had the breakfast with the House of Representatives and the Senate just after I left for Florida. And so I've got in touch with him, and I should be hearing probably tomorrow, you know. But by the end of the week, when he's going to meet with me, the person that makes his appointment said, well, he meets with the victims and families in Boston. And again, I had to say, but listen, he's the cardinal for the whole state of Massachusetts. He should be meeting with family and victims from all over Massachusetts, not a few select people that, in other words, are going to kiss his ass, you know. So today, because of the snowstorm here, another one. We've had two, Stacy, in 3 days?
Yep. Pretty much.
So, of course,
when I came in from the outside, maybe about 45 minutes ago, it was still snowing, but real, real fine, real light. So I don't know if it's slowing down or what it's doing.
Yeah, but it's still another 8 inches, you know, that kind of cripples everybody, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So they all run home very quickly. So
that's the truth.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, they all do, let's face it. So I should know more tomorrow. When I call, I will know more tomorrow.
Awesome.
I talked to Hermes. I had lunch with him today.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him if he would like to come with me to meet the Cardinal. So, Hermes.
Back in Mass from Florida? You went back from Mass to Florida? So you were staying until the spring?
Well, I had to come back for doctor's appointments, Phil.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Remember I said I had to come back in December for the doctor's appointments. So, yeah, I'm up here. So, but I had lunch with him today, and I asked him if he would like to come with me, and he goes, oh, God, you mean I'm even going to have to put a shirt and tie on for this one?
Yeah.
And I says, yeah, I guess so, you know, so he's willing to go. He says, do you think I can bring a camera? I said, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be allowed.
Yeah, I can if he's got press credentials.
Pardon?
Yes, he can if he's got press credentials.
Phil, that's not it. This is a private meeting.
Okay.
He
can have a camera.
Yeah,
if
he gets a clearance, you know.
Yeah.
And this is something that I'm going to try to convince him that he should talk to O'Malley and separate the church from state, you know. So we will see what happens. Listen, that's a big thing if I can get that done, you know.
Uh-huh.
I really want to see that out, and Flaherty's the only one that's holding it back. So maybe if he gets a call from the Cardinal, he'll at least get it out of the Judiciary Committee. So, and if I have to stay a couple of more weeks, you know, then I'll have to stay a couple of more weeks and then go back.
Uh-huh.
But my cruise was wonderful, girls.
Nice.
So, did you find a Saturday night special?
No, I found a special, but not a Saturday night special.
I did.
Then we were supposed to stop in the Bahamas on the last 2 days. And, of course, we had a big storm on the ocean. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I go up to the 14th floor deck where the swimming pool and everything was. So I wanted to have a cigarette, you know. So now they had all the furniture pushed up against the pool. And I sit in this nice, big, comfortable wicker chair, and doesn't a gust of wind, I mean, really, a gust of wind come flying, and Eunice went right across the deck in this chair. Mm. Thank God they had those plate glass windows up, or you wouldn't have seen me. I would have been in the ocean.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Then there's this guy up there. He's got some kind of... I haven't even checked it to see if he did it, but he says, oh, this is going to look nice on YouTube. Here's an elderly lady sliding across the deck. You put that on YouTube, I'll wrap it around your neck. But we had a good time. I had a good time.
Good.
Yeah. But I miss talking to you guys, you know. I was on for 2 hours one night. I think it was last week. I stayed up for the whole show. I'm trying to remember what show it was.
Oh, I came to talk to you a couple of times. You must have fell asleep because you didn't answer me.
Oh, you know something? I did fall asleep last week. Do you believe that? I did. I woke up about 11:15 with the phone in my hand. Honest to God, I did. Honest to God, Phil, I did. I fell asleep. Sorry. You should have been yelling in my ear. Yeah, let's wake up. But I just got back last Wednesday. Yeah, last Wednesday. I've been home a week tomorrow. am dying to go back down. Let me tell you that I'm freezing up here.
Freezing.
So, but I got to get back down there so we can have a pickup, Phil.
Okay. Yeah, all that information is anything.
Okay, great, great. So, that Jason that was on from Banker's Life, he got all these shoes. He come back with all of them. I mean, really, the kid did a good job. You know. So what's up, girls? What's new?
I'm in the middle of finals. I got two more days of hell. I got in the shower yesterday wearing my slippers, and today I made my coffee, and I forgot to put the coffee. I threw creamer and sugar in a cup and walked away and began to drink it.
Got your Christmas shopping done?
The what?
Your Christmas shopping. Have you got it done?
For the most part, yeah, pretty much.
Well, I just have to put money in cards because I don't do the shopping anymore. I'm too old for that.
Money always works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anybody that don't like money.
Well, you know what it is? My youngest grandchild is 13. Wouldn't you get a 13-year-old kid, you know?
Yeah.
Give him the money and let him get what he needs. So that's what I did.
When I send out my cards, this is what it says. Season's greetings. Money's short. Times are hard. Here's your fucking Christmas card.
Shut up. Really?
Is he bad?
For those that didn't hear it, season's greetings. Money's short, times are hard, here's your fucking Christmas card.
You're bad. Your wife must be going crazy with the granddaughter, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
It'll be something she'll probably enjoy, you know, your granddaughter, ripping up those little packages, you know.
She realized her first Christmas tree the other day.
Oh, really? What'd she do? Stop pulling the balls off it?
No, she just, they cut it down and took it home and put it back up.
Wow. Well, I was lucky. My husband decorated the outside and put the Christmas tree up for me. I just have to decorate it now. And again, I thought I would never have another Christmas meal here, but guess what? I'm having another Christmas meal. So, go ahead, Nora, laugh.
No, I mean, I'm not like laughing bad or nothing like that. I just thought it was funny the way you said it.
Yeah, well, I just thought I never would have to do it again, but.
Yeah.
Here I am. I make my Swedish Christmas cakes, and I've got like four more batches to make. And I don't know. I got to go back to Florida to rest. That's where I got to go.
Yeah, Christmas can be exhausting, you know. But the nice thing is, when you don't have Christmas to celebrate, it's not exhausting. Just can't wait for it to be over. Poof.
You know, I just got an instant message before we get into things, but I don't know if you guys knew that Emilio Rivera did comedy for 12 years before he made acting his major priority. And
I remember.
And since then, he's only doing it twice a year. He's doing it for, it's called Comics for Kids. Comics for Kids. It's Wednesday, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Ice House in Pasadena. If you bring an unwrapped toy valued at $20 or $20 at the door.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they were up at the hospital at a meet and greet for people that came in to give blood to the kids that needed it.
That's awesome. But nothing new here. I did have dinner with the captain, though.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he hot?
Yeah, he was hot.
You were all dressed up snazzy for the formal dinner then?
Well, they had the formal dinner, yes.
Yeah.
I'll have to get it on YouTube so you can, I mean on
Facebook.
On Facebook so you can see it. And
cool.
He, you know, kind of put his arm around me and he goes, "Are you alone, madam?" And I says, "Oh, yes, I am." He goes, "Oh, that's nice." So he kisses me on one side of the cheek and the other side. And then my sister made a mad dash. She was like five people behind us. Made a mad dash and gets up there. She goes, "Oh, Captain, could we please take a picture of my sister and I and you together?" And he says, "Sure." So they had like five cameras there, you know, so taking pictures. So anyways, when he gets done again, he pulls me close and he kisses me on each side of the cheek. As my sister's walking away, she turns around. She says, "Well, what about me?" And he says, "I don't kiss married women." So then I got an invitation, like, that was Sunday. I think it was Tuesday. I got an invitation to have dinner with him and five other couples. So that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Because he didn't speak very much. He spoke seven languages, but his English wasn't that great, you know. So he told me I was a very attractive woman, and I told him that my cherry was all dried up, and I thought I had fruit flies. And he didn't understand what I said, but one of his lieutenants explained it to him, and everybody was pissing their pants laughing. I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought
you
so,
know.
Too.
It absolutely is.
So then I got
That's
an invitation. Yeah. Then I got an invitation to go up in the front to see how they run the ship. And he had like 15 guys there helping him to run the ship, you know.
You went up to the bridge?
It was pretty cool. Yeah, I went up to the bridge. I most certainly did.
Deep stairs?
No, I didn't stare at it, no. No, I just watched them. Well, it was so beautiful, though. So the glass was all, like, slanted on the ship, you know. You know what I mean by slanted? Like,
yeah.
The bottom part of it was sticking out and the upper part was sticking in.
Hey,
and
Nora,
I mean,
Eunice, I work on those for a
what?
Living. I work on
oh,
those
I know
for
you
a
do.
Living.
Yes, I know you do. But I've never seen so many controls in all my life, really. That's a big ship, you know. It's, I think it's like 17 stories high.
Wow.
And it was just gorgeous looking out there. Oh, my God. It was just so gorgeous. It really was. Then they took me to the yacht club. See, you have to be a member to the yacht club, and it's you have your own butler and all that shit up there.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way I'm going to go the next time. Yeah. Yeah. Guaranteed trip.
All right, hold on one second. We got a caller on Skype. Hello, did you want to talk or just listen?
Cocaine's a gift!
What did he say?
I don't know. We always get one of those every once in a while.
I showed Hermes the pictures today, you know, from the cruise. Just get out of here. Is that you? I says, "No, it's my mother, Hermes."
Yeah. Nah, I just cut that guy loose. I just cut him loose.
What, I got the one that just called in?
Oh, yeah. I got a joke for you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
An elderly man in Oklahoma calls his son in New York and says, "I hate to ruin your day, son, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are getting a divorce. After 45 years of marriage and that much misery is enough." "Dad, what are you talking about?" the son yells. "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the old dad explained. "We're sick of each other and I'm sick of talking about this. So call your sister in Hong Kong and tell her." Frank, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. "Like heck they're getting divorced," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." She calls her elderly father immediately and screams at him, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back. We'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. You hear me?" She yelled as she hung up on the phone. The old man hangs up his phone, turns to his wife, says, "Okay," he says, "it's all set. They'll both come in for Christmas and paying their own airfare."
I love it. I love that one. That's cute.
But I cut whoever this was off. He's back. Hold on a second. Dad, did you want to talk or are you going to play games?
"You are cute. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human fucking beings. You are nothing but unorganized, robotic pieces of amphibian shit."
What the fuck is that?
Moron in disguise.
He was playing some shit from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, what in the hell? All right.
Somebody hostile.
Well, my baby sister kept leaving me messages on my phone on the ship. "I've been looking for you all day. Where have you been?" You know, "and I'm not looking for you anymore." And I call her back and I says, "Betty, don't
hold on
worry.
A second.
I'm in good hands."
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
We got a caller from 520. Did you want to talk or just listen?
"I don't know, but I've been told. I don't know, but I've..."
Are you kidding me?
An asshole.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
is that the same dude going back and forth from Skype to his phone number?
Yeah. What a lame-o.
I wouldn't answer that phone again from that same
number. No, I did that for a reason. When I seen the phone number.
Unbelievable.
He's calling from Arizona somewhere. haven't got it all down yet, but probably around...
He spent too much time in the sun.
You see, he's stuck in the desert on a horse with no name.
I don't know. Let me see. All right, you're back on Skype. You want to add to this conversation or do you want to play games?
Ass.
Yeah. Don't bother somebody else. 818.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you sleeping?
What's happening, man? No, I was listening. I didn't hit the button yet. I was gonna hang out and listen for a few minutes and then hit the button, you know? And then I don't know what happened. I guess here we are. Ha, how you doing, bro?
You but, sound like you just got up.
No, Jay sounds like time.
Yeah.
But,
I guess it's true.
Go ahead.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Good. Eunice is, we got Bimbo calling from Arizona playing games. I guess he wants me to hear tidbits from the Full Metal Jacket. But Eunice is in the middle of a story, so let her finish her story, and then we'll talk.
Cool, cool.
Go ahead, Eunice.
So I just told her that, you know, now this is my baby sister. And I said to her, you know, I have someone that's watching out for me very well. So she returns the phone call. What? The captain? I'm telling your husband. I said, you don't have to. I'll tell him, you know. He was a pain in the ass, let me tell you. So when we got off the ship and we had to go through, what do they call that?
Customs.
I, you know, there was like 5,000 people on this ship, 500 children. And, you know, I was ready to pass out. I started sweating and everything. I think I have claustrophobia or something. So one of the captain's lieutenant, they have to, you know, be in certain points as you're going through customs, you know. So he says, are you all right? I says, no, I'm going to pass out, you know. So he got me right through customs because you have to declare everything you bought. So I get outside, and my sister calls me on the cell phone. She says, where are you? We have been looking for you. Oh, my God, you must have got lost. She says, where are you? I says, Betty, I'm outside already. So she goes, how did you get out there so fast? I says, one of the captain's lieutenants got me out. She was bullshit. She hasn't talked to me since. So I don't think she'll ever invite me to go on a cruise again. But I had a ball.
Good.
I really did. I really enjoyed myself. I met a lot of nice people. A lot of nice people, so. I'd do it again. Girls, you want to go with me?
Oh, if I won the lottery, I'd buy a ship. With a hot captain.
Yeah, you could build one for about $200 million.
Well, yeah. Well, the jackpot right now, our last that I heard was like 600 and something point mil.
Hey, so I wonder, what if everybody in the world gave everybody $1? You know, like, we all would, like, well, I guess that would be kind of hard because we wouldn't all become millionaires right away, you know, but so if we could, what's the population we got? We could get 1 million people to give every person $1. Would that be pretty awesome or what?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
And then I'd be broke.
From giving out a dollar to each person.
Well, no. I mean, just $1. You know, like, and then you know, just to get it started. You know what I mean? Everybody just gives one, and it will go, and then the person who gets the million, let's say they got to cut out half of theirs, and they got to give 500,000 of them away. So to help carry the weight of the others, that would be pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
Well, see, we've already given them a dollar. That's why it's so much.
Right?
So we've already given them a dollar.
Yeah. But I never won that game. I played so many times. I was wondering myself, you know, what they were really doing with my dollar, you know.
Who knows?
Well,
all I know is this is the second time I've ever tried it because we're in the 21st week of a straight rollover. And so, like, last week I only got, like, 6 tickets, you know. And I know you only need 1 to win. This week, with it going up so high, it's like, hell no, I got 30 of them bad puppies.
Woo-hoo. Well, hey, if you're going to hit, you're going to hit. That's the way I look. I'll tell you one thing I did. I went to a tournament on the ship, a poker tournament.
Oh, yeah? How'd you do?
Nine guys and me, and I won.
Awesome.
Good.
And I also put it all back. So.
There you go.
And she's a real gambler.
Yeah.
That's why I do the same thing when I go to Vegas.
I don't know, when I play poker, if I win, I walk right out of it. That's it. I'm done. I'm not putting it back.
She's a smart one. I'm trying to learn that trait. You know.
It's not hard. I'm not really a gambler, so when I do it, but it's all in fun. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I guess the last time that I was in Vegas, I started out, and within a few minutes of playing one of the dollar slot machines, it's like a Wheel of Fortune machine, and within about, I don't know, 10 or 15 dollar coins, I won $500.
Wow.
But I just figured that must have meant that my luck streak was just going to carry on. And I gave him back that $500. But I would say that was the day that I learned about, you know, not putting it all back into their pot. So,
right.
But at the same time, I will admit that I had fun. So there's
a lesson
and no waste, you know.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's what it's all about, just having fun.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I've got to go back and do my baking. So
oh,
I'm going
to
wish you all a happy holiday if I don't get back next week to you.
I wish you the same.
The only day next week.
I got to bake lots of cookies.
The only day next week is Thursday.
Oh, is it?
Thursday? Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because Christmas is Tuesday and Wednesday this year.
Yeah. Christmas Eve is Tuesday and Christmas is Wednesday, so it'll be Thursday. So, listen, all of you have a nice holiday.
You too.
And a happy new year.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas, and I'll keep in touch with you all.
Okay.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Check your email.
Yep.
Check your email.
I will. All right. I will. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Somebody just sent me this 80 years old, and she gave an audition on Britain's version of America's Got Talent. So I'm kind of curious to see what she sounds like. See what she sounds like.
Awesome. Donut for Glasgow meets 80-year-old mum of 7, grandmother of 13, and great-grandmother of 4,
what?
Jenny Cutler.
What's her name?
Jenny, nice to meet you, Jenny. What are you doing for us today? Second. Best place in the year. I've had a great life. 7 kids. Hard times, but the happiest days of my life. No regrets.
Yeah?
What did you forget?
Yeah.
No. You need to call back, but she's not answering. Maybe she butt dialed the phone. No, maybe she butt.
She pocket dialed.
Uh-huh. One more, just there. This one there. You want to sing your one?
Hi.
Come on, get your hand up. Ready? How are you?
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
What's your name, darling?
What's
your name?
Janie Cutler.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, Janie, how old are you?
80.
You're very good. And Janie, why have you auditioned for the show?
Well, I like singing, so my friend says go for it.
All right,
what are you going to sing, Janie? No regrets. All right, good luck. No, no regrets.
everybody stand and give her applause. Sat down. They're still clapping.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I forget. Like that other lady, I forget the name.
Oh, that one from England. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of her name. Oh, did you hear about, get off track there. Did you hear about how, you know, how we're being listened to on the phones and stuff, how now it's unconstitutional? And they're going to make it to where they can't do it now?
Yeah, I heard that.
The sad thing is, go ahead.
They're going to get back some rights for free, you mean? What? Yeah, rights after the art to begin with.
But then, you know, the feds can still watch it through your webcam even though it's not on.
Don't believe everything. You're still going to do it. Don't believe everything you hear.
Oh, I know. I know. I just meant, like, you know, if they could actually do it and keep their word, that would be awesome. But, you know, they've been listening in on us since the 80s, and we didn't even have cell phones then. Well, they started coming out with those big clunkety things. But, you know, and that was just on the regular phones. So that was a little tidbit, that's all.
So what's up with the cooking class there, Chef? Fall asleep? Stacy?
Yeah. Did she go?
I don't know.
I fell asleep. Hold on. What'd you forget, Eunice?
Are we still on a pocket dial?
I don't know. Maybe.
I've had that happen to me so many times. It's like, will you tell your butt to quit calling me? Is that the same idiot?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what that noise was.
So I've been playing this game on Facebook with people. I found myself caught in the trap. This guy, he leaves a message, and he says, it says that he just slipped and landed in vomit at McDonald's. Yeah, so that was my response too, bro. I was like, wow, that's pretty bad. So I messaged him up on the page. I said, so which is worse than falling into vomit or stepping in shit?
Yeah.
And apparently it was a game because I commented. Now I get a private message and he laughs at me and tells me that I have to pick from about 10 things that I must say because I commented on the post. And it was all just about Merry Christmas at the end of the day, and kind of like a trick to make your friends kind of go whoa, but at the end of the day, you just told everybody Merry Christmas. So I thought that was pretty fun, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that was I got caught up in one where I had to post up that I love porn. I'm like, what the hell?
It's funny though, right? Because I mean, I'm seeing the posts are still trailing. Like, I mean, I got caught up in it a few days ago, and now just all these people I know are just saying Merry Christmas. And what's even funnier is that I recognize some of the line choices, and and I wanna comment on them again, but I'm like, no, don't comment. You're gonna get caught up in it again, you know?
Yeah, you can't even like it because you'll get caught up in it. It's crazy. So
well,
how's the music going?
Oh, it's actually going very well. I'm looking at Phillip's seagull post about seagulls. Yeah, fuck, seagulls are a problem. It's going really good, actually. We just had our first show where I was playing guitar and singing. That was fairly difficult because I accidentally had about 2 weeks to train for it because we had the system down preparing some things for some other shows at my new venue. And anyway, it was good. I went for it, and I got to see the footage afterwards. It was good and fun, and we had a good turnout, had a mosh pit start up, and I'm actually looking for some pro-level guitar players now, because being chained down in the mic stand with a guitar in my hand is, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love to play with both instruments, but it is just much more fun for me to only sing, you know?
Right. So have you laid down any new tracks?
Yeah, actually we have our five song EP that's getting ready to come out. We'll see it here in 2014. Kind of like waiting for things to be just right, waiting for that Thanksgiving dinner, you know.
Right.
You know, we've put a lot of work into it, and things are just going to be, it's going to be pretty good, I think. And we also have a video that's going to be going in tandem alongside with it of our single called Fight the World. And my band is called Mouthful of War. So it's going to be, I'm actually very excited. Yeah. Hey, thank you for asking.
No, you're welcome. Now, are you going to have, when your new tracks come out and everything, are you going to have, like, CDs up for sale? And if so, where can people catch them at?
Oh, absolutely. We'll have it for sale. I'll create a link on one of my Mouthful of War pages and maybe even one of my personal pages and I'll make sure it's available. I'll probably go after iTunes and all, you know, all the regulars, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
because,
sure,
you know, I know that there's people that like to get, like, the MP3s or, like, the iTunes, but then there's others like me. We like the CDs. you know, so that way we can just pop them in and play them, you know. So if you have, like, all those available, or if you have, like, a like page on Facebook, you know, at least this way people could go to it, hear your music, you know, and go from there.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I would be doing, I'm sure. I'm excited. I really feel like a little kid waiting for turkey dinner to get ready, you know.
Right.
And it's, you know, the whole journey is just, it has been a challenge, but also very fulfilling. It's gonna be good. And then over the weekend, I had the opportunity to meet some actually more pro level guitar players, and so that's exciting. And I met some cool people that I'm pretty sure will possibly have the talent that it will take to
right.
fill this shit for me, you know.
Well, it sounds awesome, you know.
Yeah, and then my new venue is I can say that I have never found myself happier, really, because I speak mostly with artists and people of my nature throughout the day, and I'm very glad I put myself in the center of what I've chosen to be, one of the biggest parts of my life.
Okay. Now, do you only do venues in your state, or do you travel outside the box, so to say?
No, I'm planning to take it around the world.
Well, Jay had an interesting trip when he went to London with Rusty and the rest of the guys.
Really?
That was a blast. That was some really good times.
Yeah, well, tell them what happened on the plane.
Oh, well,
you don't want to.
Rusty and me were, let's just put it this way, Rusty and me were joking around on the plane, and then I took it a little one far, and pretty much I think the only ones that thought we were funny was Rusty and I, and when I took it the one farther on my own, Then I ended up getting escorted off the plane and stayed an extra night in London.
Whoa!
It was a good time. It was a good time. I can't remember exactly what the locale was, because we saw a lot of countryside that month. But I chose to go there without my phone intact and just not even worry about putting it on World or anything, and We got to one location in the city, and we had a day of rest, and we weren't going to have to worry about any travel or anything until the evening. And so when I found that mountain bike, I asked if it was all right if I would take it around.
Yeah.
I went out without a phone. It was no nothing. I had no idea what I was or how I would get back. I know I was on the way. And,
right.
After this, he said, "Hey, Jay, just remember, we're in the tallest building in the neighborhood." I went, "Okay, we're in the tallest building in the neighborhood." Well, I did get lost. So I went to look for the tallest building, and, you know, what ended up next to me, there's some wild blackberry boysenberries growing on a bush right there. So I'm sitting there looking for a tall building eating boysenberries, and it's pretty awesome.
So did you like it in London? I mean, was it something that you expected how it to be, or was it, you know, like a different kind of trip than being there?
Well, you know, truthfully, I didn't have any preconceived notions of what I thought that it would be.
Okay.
So I went there, just to with open minded, with a smile on my face, and when we got there, it was amazing, amazing. It does seem that in some ways they actually keep their country a little bit cleaner. And then I found myself reading one of the local papers, and you know, because I'm interested in the area and seeing what the locals are doing, and it was just, it was amazing to me that, like, basically in London or anywhere in England for that matter, you could go as far as say robbing a bank. The reason I say robbing a bank is because I happen to read a particular story about some guys on motorcycles of some, like, BMW sort or something that robbed a bank, took off down the street, and never got chased. No one ever pulled a gun on them. No one tried to stop them, because that's the way that it is in England. But the counterpart to that is that they have so many cameras that they claim to be able to track anyone down, and they, you know, say that they will have found them. But I thought that was very interesting, you know. So basically, I mean, for the safety of the rest of the citizens, you'll never see any kind of police chases there or anything.
Not like what they take place here, right?
Mm. Yeah, not at all.
Wow.
It was it was very interesting.
Well, at least you were able to sit there and say, hey, at least I was there, you know.
Yeah, and then another counterpoint, they don't allow firearms for any of the citizens there in England. But meanwhile, we actually played at a huge world festival. So people from around the world are coming to this festival, and there's rides and just live music, food, just an amazing time. So here we are, we're walking around the festivities and the fairgrounds, I should say, and Rusty and I come across a booth where you can take target practice. But instead of it being a toy gun, like you would find a water pistol or something like that here, it was actually a real .22 rifle.
Wow.
So that was pretty amazing. I took a go at it, and on my go, these guys were like, "What did you just do?" Because I took a few shots and hit the target pretty well centered. But I had like 15 rounds, so after the first couple, I knew that my accuracy was well and good, and so I just unloaded the clip into the target. But while I did that, I also shot the cable in half. So they tried to reel in my target, and they're like, "Hey, wait a minute! Oh, he shot the cable." So that was pretty cool. Yeah, it was amusing,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, I could just keep telling some stories. It was a really good time. Really good time. Met a lot of great people and a lot of fun.
But that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, that is what life should be about. You know.
Right.
Surrounding ourselves with good people and being unafraid to meet new good people and just be people, you know?
Right. And plus that's good, too, because then people get a chance to see you, like, on a one-on-one type basis, and then, like, and as with a band, you know what I mean, where they can sit there and pretty much see, like, how you are, you know, feel you through your music and everything else, you know? Gets people closer to you.
It was kind of cool because I had exactly that experience with this one guy who was teaching me about London rules while we were shooting pool, you know, and we're getting ready to play, and it was actually pretty hilarious because by the end of our game, I had decided that this guy was kind of the kind of person that I wouldn't really want to be shooting pool with again. And I learned that London rules meant that if you lose, you break a stick over the head. That was his description of London rules. And what was even one better was that I truly inside wanted to punch that guy. Like
right.
By the time we were done playing pool. But I did not. I was a gentleman. But when we started playing one of the songs, it was I can't remember exactly what the song was called at this time, but when we started playing this one song, then this guy punched somebody, and then he got mauled by about 10 people. It was awesome. I was like, so there you go. And he picked on a smaller guy, and you know, he was kind of being a bully. And then the
we lost him.
Wow.
Now we're losing him.
Are you walking around or something?
When I first entered, I've been running virally as awesome. I still actually do have the internet up in front of me, which I suppose is a bad habit, but it has become a part of my center. So anyway, I'm with you.
Awesome.
Stacy.
Hi.
What's up?
So are you cooking or eat? Does that come next month?
Did you just say?
Are you cooking? Or does that
next,
come next month?
January, yeah. In January.
Okay. So what will we be cooking then?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I'll be learning pretty much stuff from A to Z about basic cooking instruction and different hospitality type things because casinos are the up and rising new thing. So they've got that implemented into the program.
Mm. So do you cook for many then?
Well, I cook for many, and that would be family, but I plan on being able to cook for a lot more.
Awesome. I've actually, at my venue, I've kind of been manning every post, and so I've been cooking myself as well. It's actually not unpleasurable, you know.
That's cool.
People seem to like the food, and it's fun, you know?
Yeah.